Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned in to our 20 Forever series. Today's message is about how worship is more than just a song, it's love expressed. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, I got to use all my time today because I got a word from God, y'all. And we're going to go ahead and get into it. Get out your phones. Get out your notes. We're so excited about what God's doing here. We are in part four of a series that we are calling 20 Forever. And this is a series subtitled How to Worship the King. And this is one of those things that is very dear to my heart because there will be many churches that gather today and people who claim to know God that will not worship him today. And that's why for me as a leader, even when we come out, this is not an emotional experience. I could stay in the time that we call worship here at Transformation Church for hours. But worship doesn't stop when the slow music stops. Worship is the way I live my life. It's the way I treat people when they cuss me out. Oh, you thought it was only with the people who are nice to you? No, no. Worship is how we live our life. It's our conduct. It's our actions. And we put this definition out, but I want everybody to see this. And if you haven't, if you're just joining us, you need to write this definition down because it's going to help you understand why we worship. Worship is our love expressed, okay, to God as a response to his grace towards us. Like, how many people have told somebody who you really are? Many of us haven't. We tell versions of who we really are. Come on, let's be honest. Like, I did something really, really bad. Like, that's how we explain, I used to be a bad person, or I'm going through some things. Like, but God knows exactly who you are at your worst, and he still calls you son and daughter. Do you know how crazy that is? Because I know me, and you know you. And when God sees us at our worst, he still calls us his best. In response to that level of grace and mercy, what is the only thing we can do is except express our love to God? But many people don't see how valuable this is. That's why we're spending 7 weeks in a series called 20 Forever, because we won't just worship 24/7. We're going to worship 20 forever. And this is my message for you. If you don't like worshiping now, you're going to hate heaven. Like the place that everybody's trying to get to. If you don't work it now, that's what we're going to do in heaven. And so I really believe there has to be an understanding so that we can walk in wisdom. And today, I want you to understand some things about worship. Worship, it's not worship if it's not love. And I need everybody to understand that. You cannot worship anything that you don't love. Okay? And it's not worship if it's not expressed. And that's why I come into church, and y'all know me, I'm kind of rowdy, and I just say what it is because I just feel like we don't even have time to be playing with it. There are many people that will express their love more to a raise on a job than to the God who saved their life. They will give you a $2 raise, and you, hey, God! And God will heal a son or daughter who was wayward and strung out on drugs. And we come into his presence, not just in this building, but in our homes, and we won't express our love. You will express your love for some turkey. Do y'all know? I was watching Instagram and watching how people acted up over the food that they gonna get one day of their, and it's going against their meal prep, it's going against their Pilates plan, it's going against everything that they're paying for, but they express their love to some ham and some macaroni and cheese and some smoked turkey and some sweet potato pie and all of these different things. But when it comes to the one who didn't just die for a meal, but died for you, we won't express. And so that's why I'm just trying to tell you, like, maybe we got this thing all wrong. Maybe we are expressing our loves to something that is not worth or worthy of us expressing our love to it. So it's not worship if it's not love. It's not worship if it's not expressed. Let me give you a new one. It's not love if it's not in your heart. So I want to talk about the heart today. And this may be different, but this helped me in my entire life. I want everybody to just close your eyes real quick. And imagine for me, if I say, what does your heart look like? What picture pops into your head? Come on, what does the heart look like? Open your eyes, okay? Now, most of you, the heart that you saw looks something like this. And this is what I call the mascot of the heart. This is what we have made the heart. Some of you, the heart look like this, okay? And you need to go and watch Relationship Goals, okay? But this is what people thought the heart looked like. This is what our mental image is of the heart. But then some of you went scientific and you thought the heart looked like this. How many people went scientific on me right there? Yeah, you, four chambers, two atria, two ventricles. Yeah, you went to anatomy, okay? But the Bible mentions the heart over 800 times in the scripture. And I can't believe it's talking about any of these hearts. So when it's talking about the heart and the love we have for God in our heart, most of us, even when we're worshiping, God, I love you so much from the bottom of my heart. And we do like this and we do like this. But I think we're confused because that's not what the heart really looks like. And so I've been studying and trying to figure out, like, what is a real good picture that I could show people that would give them a descriptive definition of what the heart that God's talking about really looks like. And this is what I came up with. This is what your heart looks like. Now, some of you may not know anything about this, but this is Star Trek, the USS Enterprise. This is one of the most amazing TV shows that was ever made, and the new movies are even better. It's phenomenal. It aired in 1966 on ABC September 8th. The only reason I know about that is because of Nick at Night. And I was looking at this, but this is what they call the bridge or the command central of the entire ship. And this is what your heart looks like. Let me help you. Can you show me just so you can see it, okay? And this is your heart. It's comprised of your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your character, your intellect, your conscience, and your will. And there's a captain in your heart. There's a chair in the middle, and this chair was reserved for Captain Kirk in the series. The question is, who sits on the throne? Yeah, who sits on the throne of your heart? Because from this chair, you start directing your emotions, your thoughts, I'm coming for you today. Your character, your intellect, your conscience, your will. And the thing is, this seat was made for only one. God is supposed to be sitting on the throne in the captain's chair of your heart. The problem is, for many of us, if we took inventory of what was guiding our ship, something else is sitting on the throne. The reason you can't worship is because there's somebody else other than God sitting on the throne of your heart. And that's why, because you don't feel it and your thoughts haven't lined up with it and your emotions are not in whack. This is all I'm trying to say, is that many of us have idols. And I know Christians check out when you say words like this, because it's like, oh, no, I don't worship any. Idol is a very simple word. I want you to write this definition. An idol is anything that takes the place of God. So anything that is sitting on the throne of your heart and giving directions to your life other than God is an idol. And the problem is, there are more believers who are saved from hell with idols they are worshiping. I know we ain't gonna get many amens today, but I amen myself before I can. I'm here to deliver the word of God and help you understand why some of your prayers haven't been connecting and why some of the things that you're like, God, I thought I could hear you so clearly in one season. It was because he was on the throne. And now you got the promotion and you've put work on the throne of your heart. So all of your, come on, y'all. Like one time I could hear him so clearly, but then you got a relationship and that man is on the throne of your heart. And so what he says directs your emotion. And what she does makes you feel something. When God says, if you don't put me back in my rightful place, you will not live the life, oh, I feel it in here, that I've intended for you to live. Okay. So this is all about the heart. Now, some people are hyping here, but everybody's getting cut today. Okay? This is heart surgery for everybody. And first for the one speaking. Okay? When God showed me this, he said, Michael, everything that I want for you is found in your heart. And everything that I want of you, all I want really is your heart. Let me show you some scriptures that talk about the heart. And I want you to see this instead of just the symbols or the mascots we've put in place of what God's actually talking about. Proverbs 23 verse 7 said, for as a man thinks in his, go back. No, you got to keep this up here. They got to see this the whole time because they don't, not as you think in the love part, as you think in your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what happens here makes you who you are. I need everybody to hear me say this because you've been trying to think it's other things and all your issues are heart issues. All of them. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the... This is why people are like, well, how did they get elevated? They're not even that good. Because God didn't look at what they were doing. He looked at who they were. And he elevated somebody who could handle it, not on the outward, who could handle it in their heart. Whose intellect and character and will and feelings and emotions could handle what God was wanting to do. I feel this thing. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, so let each one give as he has purposed in his heart. Like this is the thing you got to understand, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You heard Pastor Charles say it earlier, December 16th, we're doing this thing called the Tabernacle Offering. And we come together in faith and expectation at the end of every year asking God, okay, God, we're going to sow a seed that is bigger than us sacrificially that we want to see expand the vision of this church and touch more people's lives. And December 16th, all of us are going to come in here and we're not asking for an amount. We're just asking you to ask God. And I'm telling you, but the key to that is that we're not telling you, hey, give today or God's going to do something. We told you this almost 9 weeks ago, 9 weeks from the day, because we don't want anybody to feel that their heart is being manipulated. So you're supposed to give as you've already purposed in your, so you've thought about it. Your emotions have already gone, oh God, is that a number? Ooh. But I trust you, God. And my feelings are like, I could really be doing some other things with this money, God. But I trust you. And my character's not going to go and tell everybody how much I gave because I'm feeling good about myself, right? Do you understand? As I've already purposed in my... I'm trying to help break down some of the etherealness of following God. He wants your heart. And you only can worship God from your heart because that's where love is. And that's why God has to be on the throne of your heart. Okay, some of y'all starting to get it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. That's why people be like, I didn't even know it was going to happen. You already know that you felt it way before you willed it. Come on, y'all. Well, she just ended up on my couch and I don't even know what happened. We just was. Your emotions were involved when they friended you on Facebook. And you didn't hit deny. You liked it. And you turned your intellect off. And you sent your character away. So that you could do what your feelings, it already happened in your. I'm gonna help you today. Okay, look what Romans 10:10 says. Paul says that a person must believe in his heart to be saved. This is where salvation happens, in your heart. And for with the heart, a man believes unto righteousness. And this is where the church gets it messed up. They want people to change their actions. And God wants to change their. Because my actions only come out of what's in my. And that's why you say, if you believe in me and you say that I'm the Lord, you put me in the captain's chair, I'll start speaking to your emotions. And I'll start directing your thoughts. And I'll start channeling your feelings to not be the thing that controls you. And I'll speak to your will. Do y'all understand? That's why a relationship with Jesus is better than anything that you could ever have. Because he knows where you're going. The thing about a captain's chair is you have to have vision to where we're going. And the problem is everybody else in this room only can see what's in front of them. Only God knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. He knew that before you were even a thought in your mother's womb. That's why it's all about the heart. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? What's sitting on the throne of your heart controls you. What's sitting on the throne of your heart has the final say. Who or what is sitting on the throne of your heart is giving you instructions. Who or what is sitting on the throne of your heart is directing you. It's in the captain's seat. It's on the throne. And all I came to ask you today, I'm pleading with you, watch the throne. That's the title of my message today. Watch the throne. Because many of you are going to have God on the throne of your heart today. And by tonight, something else will be on the throne of your heart. It's almost like we have rotations for who set, like a card, a punch-in card. Like Sunday, God's on the throne. Monday, the job's on the throne. Tuesday, my marriage is on the throne. Wednesday, my friends are on the throne. Friday, Thursday, my feelings are on the throne. Friday, my family's on the throne. Saturday, sports are on the throne. And Sunday morning, God's back on the throne. Sunday night, lust. Y'all better not sit up here and act like I'm lying. And the thing is, we're the only ones that determine who sits on the throne of our heart. So my first point that I need to give you is God is the only one worthy to be on the throne of your heart. He's the only one that has paid, gone through everything that's necessary for him to be qualified to sit on the throne of your heart. Everybody else is an amateur. Everybody else is a counterfeit. Everything else is a copycat. Everything else cannot provide for you what God can provide for you. And you need to make sure that he is on the throne of your heart. Remember what an idol is. Is anybody else other than God who sits here? Let me just jog your memory because some of y'all are so religious, you don't even think this message is for you. But let me help you. Sports, money, success, fashion, celebrities, worry. Some of y'all put worry right here. And worry affects your emotions, and worry tells your thoughts what to think, and worry affects your intellect and your conscience. Like, these are all idols. Serving. Well, I just got to do this for the Lord, and I just got to do, and you're neglecting your family? Or are you serving to fill an insecurity that you won't spend time enough in his presence that he can actually heal? Pride can sit there. Our family can. Do you know that we can put our family right here in place of God. And I got to make sure little Johnny has his soccer stuff. And I got to make sure big Johnny has all of me. And I got to make sure. Come on, let's be honest. And what we do is we thank God for what took his place. I can't even stay there. Your job can be an idol. Your ministry can be an idol. Well, I'm doing this for God. And he said, are you? Are you doing this for you? Because you like the claps. You like the praise. You know that's the enemy's original sin, right? Is that he was doing something for God, and it was supposed to pass through him and go to God. But then he stood there and was like, no, I kind of like this. Y'all keep clapping, keep praising. And that's the thing that took him away from God, is he was trying to receive what was only for God, worship. Lust can sit there. Even church can be right there, be an idol. And this is the thing. Most believers assume that lost people have idols, but Christians don't. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 32, because we always talk about them, but the children of Israel, God brought them out of a broken situation, brought them into a promised land, and guess what they started doing? They started worshiping other things other than God. And so God was like, yo, I can't have this, because the whole theme of scripture is to worship God only. Everybody say that. Worship God. One more time, say worship God only. And they, what they were trying to do is what many of us try to do, is worship God with. So not worship God only, but I'm gonna worship God with these other things. And I want you to see, this is in the Bible, okay? I want you to see what happened when people were trying to worship God and worship other things at the same time. He has them in the promised land, and you can read the whole thing. And he said, because they're choosing to do this, I got to get them out here. So he allowed the king of Assyria to come in and take his people out of the promised land so that they would turn back to him. Stop. That means God will allow things to fall through that once were a blessing if we get off of track from who the blesser is. And you've been thinking the devil's coming after me. Maybe not. Maybe you stop doing the things that got you to this season. And God says the only thing that's going to get them back to my face, back on their knees, back in front of me, is if I allow what I gave them as a blessing to be removed from them so they see that I'm all they have anyway. I am preaching up here. So all I'm going to say to you, is the king of Assyria now is here, but these people brought in their customs and they started worshiping their idols on places that were made for God to be worshiped. And God said, oh no, I didn't drive my people out who weren't worshiping me so y'all could come in and not worship me. So he sent a pack of lions, read the Bible, into the city. And they just start eating everybody. Just like, it was Thanksgiving for the kiddies. You hear what I'm saying? And so they sent word back to the king of Assyria. I'm just paraphrasing a lot of the Bible right now. And they was like, yo, king, could you please teach us how to worship? Because we don't know how, because everybody is meow mix. And we really need to figure out how to worship. So they hired some priests from Israel to come in and teach these people how to worship the one and true king. And watch what happened. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 32. It says, these new residents worshiped. Everybody say worshiped. They worshiped the Lord. But they also appointed from among themselves sorts of people as priests to offer sacrifices at the places of worship. Look at this, verse 33, very important. And though they worshiped the Lord, they continued to follow their own gods. Now I'm not saying it's you, but I know it was me at one time, that I worshiped God, but I continued to follow the money. Follow the booty. Follow. I want to be fake today. According to the religious customs of the nation from which they came, verse 34, and this still goes on today. It was something that was started back then, and it's still happening right now. They continue to follow their former practices instead of truly worshiping the Lord and obeying the decrees, regulations, instructions, and commandments that were given to the descendants of Jacob, whose name he changed to Israel. Verse 35, for the Lord had made a covenant with the descendants of Jacob and commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow before them or serve them or offer sacrifices to them, but worship only the Lord. Everybody say worship only. The Lord who brought you out of Egypt. This is the thing. Egypt represents you without God. It represents you bound in sin. And God says you need to worship the God who saved you. That's what this whole thing is about. He said, worship the God who brought you out of Egypt with his great strength and powerful arm and bow down to him alone and offer sacrifices only to him. Look, he wants to be worshiped only. He says, be careful at all times to obey the decrees, regulations, instructions, and command that he wrote. It's funny that he always calls them the children of Israel. And I think he calls them the children of Israel because children have to be told the same thing over and over again. Hey, stop doing that. Hey, stop doing that. Hey, stop doing that. And this is what God is going to say to them. Look at the next verse in verse 37. You must not worship other gods. That's point one. Verse 38. Do not forget the covenant I made with you and do not worship other gods. 39. You must worship only the Lord your God. He's saying the same thing in different way because he's trying to get it into children's mind that I do not want to be worshiped with other things. I want to be worshiped. Everybody say alone. He wants to sit in this place in your heart by himself. I want you to look at it. And it said, but, verse 40, this is so sad. And I don't want this to be the testimony of Transformation Church. It said, but the people would not listen and continue to follow their former practices. So while these new residents worshiped the Lord, they also worshiped their idols. So they thought they were good because they were coming to church on Sunday. You're a good father. But then they went out on Monday through Friday and worshiped money. And they did everything they could to be a dog eats dog. And they got up on somebody else and they went up. And then they come back and they worship because you're perfect in all of your ways. But then I go and God said, this is not what worship looks like. And look at the worst part of this whole scripture, verse 41. So while these new residents worship the Lord, they also worship their idols. And to this day, their descendants do the same. I wonder who their descendants are. This is heavy word right here. Like this is ouch word. But if we don't understand it, we will function in delusion, thinking that it's okay to put our career as the center of our heart. When God says, no, I have to be the center of your heart and I'll direct your steps and you'll get to the career I've called you to if I'm at the center of what you are doing. And so this is what I want you to know. Idols hinder your worship to God. Point blank period. The reason why it's so hard for many people to come into this room or in your house or in your shower or in your car and express your love to God is because somebody's sitting in his seat. And because he's not on the throne of your heart, it's hard to worship any king that's not on the throne. Think about it. It would be like a king sitting here, but we're worshiping somebody over here. Everybody be like, hey, no. The king's on the throne. And this is the great thing about it. Everybody in this room and everybody watching is a worshiper. It's what you were created to do. You're gonna worship something. The question is who and what are you worshiping? I'm sorry. I am so sorry that you thought you could be on the throne of your life and it would work out. But if you're going to learn what God has called you to do, you got to put the only one who has the weight to sit in the chair back on the throne of your
heart. Why is your money not working? It's because you got somebody who does not know the thoughts, the mind, the will, and the emotions of who he's created you to be, directing you on the throne of your heart. And this is why it's so hard for you to lift up holy hands. It's because I've put something on the throne of my heart all week, and then I come in here and try to act like you've been there. And I had to be honest with myself. There are many times that I've put the things God's blessed me with on the throne of my heart, and I started worshiping the blessing and not the blesser. Ah, I know you wanted to be successful, but the success made you forget who made you successful. And no. And I know. I already know you prayed for that family, and you weren't able to have, you had fertility issues. And then God finally answered the prayer, but now you have idolized the blessing. And now the child sits here, and you don't pray anymore because the child needs you. And you don't worship. Listen, I'm not saying it. It's just we all doing it. Well, I prayed for the D1 scholarship, and now you got so many practices that you can't read your Bible. And that's how you got pregnant while you was in the blessing, because you let your emotions tell you that you needed to be close to somebody because you got far from God. And then you let your feelings tell you that the cheerleader who was sitting right there and cheering for you was the person you needed to confide in. And this is how we end up living our lives, because we have idols sitting on our heart. My only question to you today is, who's on the throne of your heart? Like this, there's so much I want to say right now, but I'm going to stay right here. Because there's a whole nother part to this, but we can't even move past it because there's idols that have not been dethroned. You're sitting in here right now thinking about the idol when you get out of here. Oh, did y'all not know food could be right here? Oh, y'all. Oh, y'all just had a worship experience this Thanksgiving. You hear me? We put things on the throne of our heart. And I'm just asking you today, is what's on the throne of your heart worthy to be praised? Just think about it. See, and this is the last scripture I'm going to give you today. And I want you to sit with this all week. And then next week, I'm going to tell you how to get all of these idols off the throne. I mean, next week, we're kicking everything out. Everything is getting an eviction notice. Everything that's not like God, got to go. I know that's not proper English, but it got to go. You hear what I'm saying? So the only scripture I'm going to leave you with today, I need you to see this, is Proverbs 4:23. Because this is why it's so important, and this is why our worship is hindered, and this is why so many things are happening. Look at this scripture, because you've heard it before, but you've never thought about it like this. Guard your heart. Like, so many of your hearts are just open. Anybody can get in. Anything can get in. Anyone can get in. You just waiting for somebody to DM you. You so thirsty that you would just take anything. And God says, would you guard your heart? Every deal is not a good deal. You didn't hear me. Everything that looks good is not good. And we are so frivolous with the thing that changes everything, that we let people who are not, do you know why these people are sitting here? It's because they're qualified. And we're letting people who are unqualified to speak into our heart. Can I tell you one of the easiest ways? When you're scrolling on Facebook and Instagram, you are giving everybody who posts access to your. Do you know how many times I had to battle lust? Because I was scrolling and saw something that somebody else posted that was ape. I opened my heart to it and it penetrated my heart and started trying to kick God out of the seat that was his, and it started messing with my feelings and my thoughts and my emotions and then my will. And that's when I said no. The Bible tells us to cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the captain of my ship. Get out. You can't stay here. Matter of fact, I have to renew my mind. How do I do that? I'm going to hide myself in the Word of God. This is why reading your Bible is not an option. This is why being in community is not an option. Because if you're not, you've not guarded your heart. And you'll live the rest of your life getting ransacked by anybody who can push whoever else out of the captain seat of your life. Look at the rest of the scripture, because some of y'all is like, okay, guard your heart. But look why this is so important. Guard your heart above all else. Now, I need you to see how, like, above everything. Like, guard your heart above prayer. Yep. Because you're only going to pray what's in your guarded above, like, taking care of my family. Yeah, because your family only gets the version of you that's in your, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. You cuss your kids out because it's happening in your. I'm just trying to give you, I didn't know while I was doing all these things. It's because my heart wasn't guarded. And I was letting idols sit on the throne of my life. And I wouldn't worship because I would try to lift my hands and be in a worship experience, but I couldn't because pornography was sitting on the throne of my heart. And so I would sit here and I know he's good and I know he's been faithful and I know his grace is here for me today, but I don't feel like I'm worthy. I feel like I'm too guilty. I feel like I can't. And it's not until somebody with the authority to tell you who you are sits on this that you will not feel all of that. And every time I feel low, and every time I feel broken, and every time I feel like I'm going the wrong way, I always check who's on the throne of my heart. Look at the rest of the scripture. It's so good. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The reason I used the USS Enterprise is because they were always going somewhere. And literally, their vision statement, if you want to make it biblical, was to go to places that no man has gone before. That was their vision statement. Kind of like what God wants us to do. He wants us to represent him and to go into areas of influence, into entertainment, into education, into government. He said, but I haven't found too many people that would let me still sit on the throne of their heart when they got there. And so when they get in the entertainment industry and they can rub hands with Will and Jada and all of these other people, then money and influence sits on the throne and it starts to affect their character. So they'll lie to get somebody that, and they'll do, and their emotions, and then they start doing drugs because they're trying to get peace in their conscience. And they drink a lot because what they knew in their intellect from 6 years of college doesn't work anymore, because all I'm telling you is maybe the course of your life is not in the direction that it should be because you have the wrong captain on the throne of your heart. It's very hard to worship God and he's not sitting on the throne of your heart. Today, if you're in this room, you're like me, last night, had to repent. Say, God, I am so sorry for putting the growth of this church that you blessed, that you took somebody who was unqualified and you did. And I've been letting this consume my thoughts and where's our next building gonna be and can this, that, and I put the worry of your church on the throne of my heart. Last night at midnight, I dethroned. I'm not speaking to you as somebody who's not vulnerable enough to say, I just had to do this, and guess what? I'm probably going to have to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to have to do it the day after that. This is why devotion time, being in God's presence, is so important, because every day you wake up, you're going to have to try to kick somebody out of that seat. But today, we're coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. The only one who's worthy to be praised. If you're in this room and you know there's an area of your life right now that something else has been on the throne of your heart. It's like, no. Just 30 seconds ago, I just threw it away, Pastor Mike. I know, okay, it's all right. You know, it's like, no, I knew he was going to call it, so I'm just, I already did it. I can sit down. Like, all I'm saying today is maybe there's more of us than you think. If something has been on the throne of your heart other than God, and you know it's been hindering your worship, your devotion, the direction of your life, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to stand with me right now. Just stand. I'm about to pray for you. Because I believe this week, God is going to start to show you things, and you're going to start dethroning everything that's not God. Hands lifted all over this building. Father, I thank you that today you're doing heart surgery on your children. And today I'm praying right now, God, that you would change us from the inside out. Father God, I'm thanking you that everything that has taken your place, from money to our marriages to our family to our success to our careers to the blessings, everything that has been sitting on the throne of our hearts that is not like you, today it has to get off. And today we command that the throne of our heart is only for God. Forgive us, God, for putting the blessing where only the blesser goes. And God, I thank you that we will be vigilant to guard our hearts. Father, if that means we got to get off of social media, if that means we need to let gossiping friends go, if that means, God, that we need to fast, whatever it means, God, we will guard our hearts, Father, from the music we listen to because we like the beat, but it's going into our heart and directing our lives. God, forgive us so that we can reach purpose and be in you. Today, we're coming back to the heart of worship where it's all about you. And we thank you that from today on, we will watch the throne in Jesus' name. Look at me, everybody. If you're in this room right now and you've never put Jesus on the throne in your entire life, this is what salvation is all about. All it is saying, hey, family, dad, mom, lust, perversion, all of the things that were on the throne before, here's your eviction notice. I just made Jesus my personal Lord and Savior. And from today on, he's the captain. Well, no. All we've known is division and lust and doubt all of our life. Yeah, but he created me. And he's now going to be the captain of this ship. That's all it is. And the Bible says if you believe in your, not if you change, not if you do everything right. Like, we believe here that if God can get into your heart, he can change your habits. Heart before habits. The church wants you to think, change your habits, so then your heart can be okay. No. It happens in the heart, and then God will change your habit. Let him in. Let him in. Today, God's knocking at the door, and he's saying, you've been living this life by yourself. Can I please come in and change your heart? And as a result of me changing your heart, I'll change your habits. If you're in this room and you want to make Jesus Christ the captain of your ship, your personal Lord and Savior, the very decision that changed me from being addicted to pornography, a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was not a good person in my, you couldn't see it because I could play you. Just like many of us are playing people right now, but you know what's in your heart. And God says, can I come in and clean it? Yes. Can I come in and change it? Can I come in and do what only I can do? If you're in this room and you want that, you're saying, Pastor, I want you to include me in that prayer today. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And Transformation Church is a family, so nobody prays alone. So all of us are going to pray this prayer together for the benefit of those coming to Christ. But you know if you really mean this. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, Father, I need you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and to raise again to sit on the throne of my heart. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.